Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/verbalshenanigans. Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
There. Welcome back to Verbal Shenanigans Podcast. It's me, Scott Brennan. Episode 58, I think. Something like that. 58. Long way from our 50th celebration. Anyway, Michael Berlow, how's it going there, pal?
Pretty good, my man. Kind of a tiring weekend with all the rain and stuff. Made everybody
lazy. Are you sleepy?
I slept until about noon this Sunday.
Wow, you pulled a nooner?
Yeah.
Wow. What'd you do last night?
I went out with some people. I went to Cheesecake Factory.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a nice meal. Those fried macaroni cheese balls, those things really...
Fried macaroni cheese balls.
Yeah.
I see you're really watching your figure there.
Yeah, I'm watching it grow.
Did you have multiple drinks?
No, actually it was drink-free last
A 2 a.m. drink-free night?
Yeah.
That's rare.
Yeah, afterwards we went to see Ted 2.
That came out?
Yeah, it's been now for... I don't think this was the opening weekend. But
really? Well, wasn't any good?
It's decent. It's good. I wasn't sitting back saying ripped off, but the thing I've always said about the latest stuff from Seth MacFarlane is he just... relies too much on randomness versus plot.
Yeah. Was, what was in the first one? Khan was in the first, what was his name?
Khan?
The random bad guy from the 80s, Flash Gordon.
Flash Gordon, and he was in it.
Yeah.
He was in it for a few scenes. couple people from Star Trek. He has a hard-on for Star Trek people. He had, Michael Dorn, who played Worf. He had, the
Worf.
Girl... who was on Deep Space Nine. I forget her character name. He had, what's the guy's name? The guy from Taken.
Liam Neeson?
Liam Neeson, yeah. That was a pretty funny scene. He came up to the register. He's like, I have a few questions about this breakfast cereal. It inquires that tricks are only for kids. Is that justifiable by law? No, you can just buy it. No. So you're saying nobody will follow me if I acquire these tricks.
All right. But anyway, we are happy to be back. We have no guests on the podcast. However, last week we had Mr. Leon Rainbow. That was pretty cool.
Very nice.
Graffiti. Talking a little bit about graffiti, a little bit of street art, a little bit of hip hop
painting.
Body painting. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I could body paint. Maybe myself, but I don't know if I could body paint like a chick, especially some of the chicks he gets to paint.
Yeah, those were some pretty fine girls. They'll pretty much figure me out in a couple minutes, probably, and I'll keep on erasing something on her ass, you know? She sees a bunch of stick figures on her stomach and me touching her boobs. She's going to figure something out.
Yeah. I mean, I would think the heavy breathing and the the tight pants would really throw them.
Yeah.
Probably... make it stop before it even started. But Michael Berlow, you like quinoa?
I don't think I've ever had it before.
You never had quinoa before?
No. I've heard of it.
Spelled quinoa, but yep. Pronounced quinoa. I was reading a news story today. Do you want a $10,000 gift card to casual dining restaurant, BJ's Restaurant and Brew House?
BJ's Restaurant.
Yeah.
Intriguing name.
Yes, BJ's Restaurant. Now, all you have to do is, you need to you get a massive $10,000 gift card if you name your newborn baby Quinoa.
That wouldn't be too far fetched for these current rap couples.
That's true. That's true. Quinoa West.
I could see it happening.
I think Quinoa Berlew has a pretty good ring to it.
I don't know. The key with the Lou. I don't know.
Keelu.
Keelu Berlew. Now, that's
Keelu Berlew.
Yeah, I can back that up.
That might be the first black person on our podcast.
Yeah.
It's a Keelu Berlew.
Well, good for me. That means I got with a black chick, and you know how I feel about
you do
that.
Like, you do like the black women.
Yeah. Well, I like different women.
All women. All
people
women.
Just... jump on, well, because I say, yeah, I like black women.
Yeah, well, I mean, you advertise it.
I don't advertise it. This all started...
Do you advertise that you like Asian women?
I do like Asian women.
Do you advertise that you like Muslim women?
I don't... Well, they're mostly covered up, so yeah, it'd be hard to like them.
You got to put a positive twist on it. Maybe you could imagine whatever you want underneath there.
Mm.
The burqa.
Well, eventually the burqa is going to come off, though. I mean,
No. It doesn't come off. It just you got to go through the hole.
Like the hole in the sheet, like the Jewish thing?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, then why don't they get along? They have so much in common.
Well, you know, it's that whole, you know, I don't understand the, it's the mystery of the burqa, I think. Hmm. I think it's the mystery of the burqa. Hmm. And next in the podcast, we're going to draw Muhammad.
But yeah, they don't play around those people. I mean, when Trey Parker and Matt Stone pretty much sat back and said, "Okay, we're going to shut up," you pretty much know that they were in their face a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, but then those people in Texas, was it the biker gang or whatever, had a draw Muhammad contest or something like that, and they were all like protecting the place while it was going on.
I mean, that's pretty badass. I mean, it's kind of dickish, but at the end of the day, when you can pretty much advertise it, say it's going to happen, and nothing does happen, they're pretty badass.
But on the other hand, are you just asking for something something tragic to happen for no reason?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. With everything that's going on, it's like that's the last thing you need. And, it'll happen now. So would you name your baby Quinoa?
Just for $10,000?
Yeah, 10 grand doesn't seem enough.
No. Like a lifetime.
No, 500,000? We're talking. Quinoa Brennan's on the way.
It's still, all you could do with it is their food. Like, once if you like eat their food, you're like, eh.
That's true.
Like cash?
Cash, yeah.
I'd think about it.
What's the cash line that would let you name your baby Quinoa?
Well, 500,000 seems right because there's no clause in there that says I had to keep the kid's name.
Yeah, and this guy says that we are so excited to introduce these amazing new Quinoa bowls that we wanted to do something big, maybe even a little crazy.
You do realize this fad's going to end and it'll be something new here.
Yeah, and that place will probably go out of business in a week. And but $10,000.
And then your kid's walking around with the name of Quinoa. Well, why'd you get that name? You remember that business that went out like 4 years ago? Yeah.
Quinoa might work if you're like an Asian guy. Just, you know, they don't need to know.
You got to be pretty cool to pull off Quinoa.
Quinoa.
Yeah.
I think it has a good ring to it. It's not
like
bad.
You can't be a book nerd named Quinoa.
Why?
I you can't pull it off like a name. That sounds like a suave name if you're going to pull it off.
So you think you would have to be smooth to be named Quinoa?
Yeah.
Like, hey, ladies.
Hey. Quinoa.
This is Quinoa. Like the food? No.
Quinoa Abdul Jabbar.
Quinoa Abdul Jabbar. But yeah, so I found that interesting.
Mm.
Big week in America this week.
Mm-hmm.
Big week. Right, Brian Anderson? Well, I tried to get on the podcast tonight, but I never got an answer back. But,
Hey.
Gay marriage legal across the United States. About freaking time.
Good for once and all. I was really looking down on the Supreme Court, but they pulled through.
Yeah. It always, you know, any kind of thing like this, I always like, because the government's so messed up, I always think about, like, what is the secret agenda to this? But, you know, it's a good thing about time. Ireland had just done that a couple months ago, so
yeah.
I know a bunch of countries already had that, but it's good, you know? Like, I guess now they can suffer like the rest of us, and you know.
It was just a silly thing. You know, they relied it all on the name of marriage because marriage is religious.
Yeah, because that the sanctity of marriage really holds up across the nation.
Well, the funniest thing is how they promote so much the sanctity of marriage. If you think about it, when they give you like tax breaks and everything like that, mm-hmm. that goes against what this country was built on. It was supposed to be a separation of state and church.
Right.
But you can't, if you're going to say that marriage is purely a religious thing by rule, you're breaking what we came over here for.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking I would give gay marriage a shot, maybe.
Yeah.
You're single, right?
Yeah.
Well.
All right. I want a good ring, though.
I mean, I think I can give gay marriage a shot as long as the guy likes hockey and I could be the outside spoon.
Hmm.
Other than that, I mean, shit, it's just like hanging out all day.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't even know what the real benefits of marriage are, like, as far as, like, economically. It's not, tax I mean, breaks. I guess health insurance being covered.
Health insurance, tax breaks. I know when you go out for, like, loans and stuff, that's always a positive.
Mm-hmm. Divorce lawyers craving, drooling all over the country now. But it'd be interesting to...
That's an interesting question. When will you think will be the first official gay divorce?
It's probably happened already. It's probably happened already. There's a bunch of states it's been legal in.
Hmm. Probably.
I mean, it had to have happened. Look up first ever gay divorce.
I know, like, Brittany Griner, like, her and her woman, they got married and they beat the shit out of each other. Ah. And then it got annulled.
Well, that's not the same, right? That's not the same.
No. That just means it just never happened.
It just never happened. I always found that interesting, annulment. Like, you just, like, can make it go away for certain reasons or time period.
Yeah. Let's see. According to this, July 30th of 2013 was the first gay divorce in Colorado.
What, 2013?
Yeah.
Oh, so the ball is already rolling.
Yeah.
So
now it's just a matter of getting the numbers up.
Right. And like I said on stage last night, who gets the house? How do they decide that? Because it's heavily favored to the woman.
I guess
in many
they would
cases.
Have to actually use logic.
Yeah, logic might actually be in the courtroom.
That's the first, man. I mean, I guess that's why they didn't want gay marriage to begin with. They would have to think about stuff.
Yeah, but they could probably spend a whole lot more time in court, which means more money for the lawyers.
I guess so. I mean, the judges make the same amount regardless.
It'd be funny if, like, two gay guys got married that, like, weren't very flamboyant, but, like, when it came to court, they just got as flamboyant as possible. All of a sudden showed up with, like, nipple tassels and...
it's raining men playing through.
Sir! He's, like... I don't know. Like, I guess it's going to be a lot more fair, probably.
John, I just don't agree with you. We'll just have to sound in court. Your Honor.
Todd, stop it. I'm the bitch.
No.
Stop it.
I'm the one who had all the gay parties with the streamers and the balloons.
I drink apple teenies.
I drink apple teeny lights.
No, you don't.
Yes,
no, you
I
don't.
Do.
No,
I watch my figure.
I'm a power bottom.
Well, that's against gay law. That makes you the masculine one.
No.
No, you're using power.
No. You're on the top, Todd. You're on the top.
Yeah, but you're using
your
power
control
against me.
Well,
you know that's true.
But anyway, I'm very happy for the
How
gay.
How was that accent, by the way?
Better than a couple.
Things are crazy when you get a gay divorce. I'm just going to bring them up every week.
Yeah. I got to put that reel together, hopefully, this week of all your freaking weirdo accents that for like a couple episodes there was like 3 weeks in a row you like came up with something. You were the Nickelodeon guy for some reason. Mm-hmm. You were the weird gardener.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it was probably something else. You were Pig. You were Natty Bumper Car's Pig.
I did good with Pig.
You did great. You did good. you did
I'm gonna
so
put that
good.
On my resume. So what kind of things can you do? Well, I can imitate a pig puppet very well. Oh, Miss Piggy? No. Why would you ever think that?
No, some New Jersey comedian's hand puppet.
He did a Periscope while he was driving doing Pig.
Oh, great. So he had the phone in one hand, the pig on the other, well, and then maybe the steering wheel.
Well, he was safe because he was telling people on the back, I can't read that. I can't read the comments because I'm driving.
Good for you, Natty. Thank you for not killing anyone.
Well, he's in South Carolina, so they're not used to people dying over there.
He's in South Carolina?
It was one of the Carolinas.
No. Well, hopefully he wasn't in the bad part of Carolina.
No, no.
But, yeah, I'm happy for the gay community. Yeah, you know what? You know what is another good positive?
What's that?
Now at least, like, something like gay marriage isn't going to help swing people in elections and stuff like that. Some useless, some issue that never should have went on this long. Like, it's not going to be used, like, to gain votes during the election. Not that it's going to matter. I mean, in the end, it's going to be a Bush, a Clinton, a Kennedy. It's just amazing how things can just stay in the freaking same families, man.
I forget who put up the meme, but I remember it said something like, Terminator's coming out, Jurassic World's the number one movie, and Clinton and Bush is running for election. What year is this?
It's just like, how long can we go with the same two families? And, you know, like, it's like basically the Kennedys, the Bushes, and the Clintons. Like, they're just always the same people.
It's like a dynasty, man. They're the New Jersey Devils of the White House.
Yeah. Chicago Blackhawks now in these days. Patriots, got it. But
I guess the Bushes are the Patriots because they cheated.
Right, the Flakegate. Yeah. I found a place that you might like, Michael Berlow.
Ooh, I like new places.
Yeah, there's a new place opening up. I thought you might like it.
It's a full of fun and excitement?
No, it's a new restaurant opening up.
Oh, okay.
If it wants to load.
That I have been waiting for. And ladies everywhere, a new restaurant in Dallas drawing huge crowds, but not exactly for what's on the menu, but perhaps what's behind it. We sent Chanel to get a first-hand look at what the buzz is all about.
It's Carson Daly.
It's called Tallywhackers, and at this restaurant, you can get beef with a side of beefcake.
Appetizer for the day, it's going to be our tofu fried Brussels sprout.
Yep, the appetizer. Hard to miss on these human menus, unless you get too distracted to read. Opened in Texas just 2 weeks ago, this cheeky new concept restaurant is turning the tables on eateries like Hooters, known for their scantily clad waitresses. And it seems to have tapped into some demand.
We've taken off a lot faster than we thought, so we do have, on average, probably about a two-hour wait at night every day of the week.
Owner,
oh, I got to stop it for a second. So,
I wonder if he was happy with the results.
I'm the owner of Tallywhackers.
You know what? As funny as it sounds, good for women.
Dude.
Seriously.
I'm thinking the opposite. I'm thinking bachelor party, you tell your boy you're going out to a good steakhouse and you bring him the Tallywhackers. We're going out, you know, we're going to have a good time.
Well, I remember there was a girl who got suspended from school because, you know, the boys were coming in with Hooters shirts.
Hmm.
So she got a t-shirt made up with a rooster on it that said Cox. And they're like, no, that's a sexual slang or whatever. And she's like, well, what the hell is that? And they still suspended her.
In middle school, I had to take a shirt off. I had a No Effects shirt, the punk band No Effects.
Okay.
And the name of the album was Heavy Petting Zoo. And it has a you know, a picture of a guy who I didn't even know it. You know, he's holding a sheep, really, like like provocative quinoa, provocative. And they made me take it off, and I'm like, "Why? It's just a shirt. It's a band shirt." But yeah. But anyway,
wait, were you the teacher at the time?
No, I was a student. I want to hear Tallywhacker's owner again, real quick.
He seems to have tapped into some demand.
We've taken off a lot faster than we thought, so we do have, on average, probably about a two-hour wait at night every day of the week.
Owner
Rodney Duke admits curiosity is driving customers through the door right now.
They look at the guys, look at the food. You can tell that they want to look more than they actually do.
Oh, that guy's got a shirt off.
Of course, not everyone's too shy to check out the waiters.
They want us to look at them. That's why they're dressed like that.
We met a trio of teachers who drove 5 hours from Oklahoma with Tallywhacker guy candy
talking
their summer getaway plans.
We took pictures of the menu, took a picture of a couple of the guys, and we're excited to tell them about it.
Oh, you horny little housewives, you.
With selfies,
there has to be a strip club closer than
5 hours. It's a wonder there's time to serve any food at all.
Make sure I'm in here.
And if you're worried the waiters are being ogled or objectified.
I mean, if we weren't okay with it, wouldn't be here in the first place.
Right. Where do I even start?
I sat down for a meal myself.
Really? Oh, did you?
I admit it can be tough to focus on the food, but let's face it, it's all part of the fun.
How's everything? Sweetheart, good?
I think I'm okay. Thank you.
And so far, customers are loving every bit of it. For today, Chanel Jones, NBC News, Dallas.
Tallywhackers. Mm. Maybe we could get them to sponsor this show.
Yeah.
This is brought to you by Tallywhackers. I just love the freaking the horny like 50-year-old women sent. We drove 5 hours to see. Oh, they don't want us to look at them. They just want it. That's why we're here. We took pictures. I looked at a couple guys. Oh my god, it's crazy.
And again, I just don't get it. There has to be a male review closer than 5 hours. If you're gonna go out for that, just go all in.
Yeah.
Don't just go.
What if you're
if
you're hungry?
Eat beforehand.
But what if the sight of them is making you hungry?
Why?
I mean, these are some beefcakes here.
Where do they keep the dessert menu?
I like the name, Tallywhackers.
Yeah.
That's pretty great. The dessert menu.
I mean, God bless them for getting the business of coming up with it. But again, at the end of the day, it's kind of like if I wanted to see a woman, I would go to a strip club before Hooters.
Well, would you go to Tallywhackers before normal male strip club?
Well, how much time we got on the podcast?
Oh, we got all the time in the world. Who knows if this episode even goes up? I'm a big fan of Tallywhackers. I'm hoping Tallywhackers does its best.
Since we're talking about like women's kind of things, did you hear about
this? We're talking about hot male junk, gay pride, baby.
Well, we just went through that.
Oh, sorry.
We're doing a woman thing, right? Did you hear about this preacher, John McGee?
No.
He is calling for prosecution of women who says God's name during intercourse.
I agree.
Yeah?
Absolutely. That's always been a problem in mine.
Really?
In my life. Usually it's like, oh, God. Oh, God, what is that? What are you doing to me?
One of the things that the Bible has consistently denounced is the taking of the Lord's name in vain.
Hmm.
In fact, one of the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament states, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain.
Absolutely. What's his name, John McGee?
Yeah.
John McGee, right on. Go ahead. Keep going.
For the Lord will not hold him guiltless.
Oh, not guiltless. Not guiltless at all.
In vain. Exodus 20-7.
Happens to be my favorite chapter.
Yeah. Really?
Exodus.
Name your top five.
Exodus, Nathaniel, Genesis, the band, and Marky Mark.
God said, and I can't
Marky
dance.
Mark. But yeah, I mean, this guy is—he's so right. He's so right. Please read more. I'm gonna look this guy. Maybe we can get him on.
All right. Thus, God, who was instructed the Israelites to avoid using His name in a useless, disrespectful way, instead, the Israelites were supposed to revere the name of God and use it in a serious, considerate way.
100%.
Many of the ancient Israelites were so respectful of the name of God that they would not even pronounce it or write it for fear of using it in vain.
Totally.
Those who did write it would often throw away the quill they had used because they thought that any quill that had written God's name was holy.
Totally. I just threw my pen out before.
And should not be used for regular words.
No, it shouldn't be.
Dr. John McGee, the founder and senior pastor of the Cornerstone Church in San Antonio, Texas, not only agrees with what the good book says, but also takes the faith of a level fanaticism.
Yeah.
Speaking exclusively with Newslow.
Newslow, that's good. That's a really good source for news.
I go there all the time.
That's generally where I get my news from. So, the good book should not be tarnished. It is the good book, after all.
You know, Hagee stated that in this world of crimes and deaths that surround us, a simple blasphemy does not get that much attention when
absolutely.
It should.
Totally.
Saying the Lord's name in vain might seem petite and insignificant compared to some of the things that are going on in the world right now.
Not at all. Not at all. I, you know, like, To me, it goes like saying the Lord's name in vain,
mm-hmm.
South Carolina shooting,
okay,
gay pride. Like, to me, that's the number.
So gay pride is the third worst thing in the world, right?
No, now. Not the worst, but the most pressing issues in the world right now. Okay. You know, like, South Carolina shooting's bad, but not really, like, okay, anywhere near saying God's name in during intercourse. Because it's got to stop, man. It's really got to stop.
Yeah. Well, let's see. He elaborated. But that's precisely the problem. If the shepherds of a faith start doing wrong, what is the flock supposed to do?
You know what's going to be God's... You know what's going to be the most pressing issue? Your ability to paraphrase.
Oh. That's true. Follow in their footsteps.
So...
I don't think
Here's my question, though. So he's trying to criminalize it?
Correct.
First off, how do you catch somebody?
I say we put cameras in everybody's bedrooms.
No, that's exactly what I mean. Like, how is he going about pushing his agenda?
I guess you...
Because like, I'm in. I will...
You call 911. Listen, I was just doing this girl, and she yelled, God, get her arrested. I don't want to wake up next to her in the morning and have to get her breakfast.
Or maybe like something that's really safe, because like usually like pastors and priests are usually pretty safe with no like skeletons in the closet. Maybe like each time you have intercourse, you kind of have like a almost like a lifeguard on duty.
Okay.
Like a pastor or you call up your reverend or your pastor, because usually they're like, these are guys that are just, they're really holy, and they're like, you know, they're very genuine, like they've never done anything wrong.
Never.
So like to have them in your bedroom, it's not even like a big deal.
No.
It's almost like,
if God's watching you all the time, why can't my pastor?
Right, and they are the eyes of God, though. They're like the mediums.
Beacon.
They're like mediums, right? God speaks to them. So they might as well be able to watch what's going on. And, you know, almost have a clipboard, like, ooh, did she say God? Like, so, first offense, blah, 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 second offense.
So if I scream, holy shit, would they have to go to the judges?
I don't know. If I scream Allah, is that still no good? Or?
Well, we're going to need, like, a priest, a rabbi, a Muslim in the bedroom at all times when you have sex.
I think I've seen that movie once.
Yeah. Did they all join in?
Of course. But yeah, I'm totally in support of this guy. I mean, like,
okay,
you know, like, people just waste their time sometimes on things like that don't really mean a lot.
But this isn't one.
Right. Like, you know, we're talking about gay pride and stuff. Like, who cares? It's just their ability to get married and like marry their loved one. Like, who is that really a big deal? You know, they only got to spend their life with their loved one and. You know, spend the rest of their life. That's not a really big decision, you know. But when you were talking about like something that hasn't been spoke about yet, like God, saying God in the bedroom.
Now,
I mean, this is serious shit right here.
Now he only goes after women saying it. What are your thoughts on men saying God?
Oh, men are allowed to say God. Totally. Yeah.
How come?
Well, you see, because like men, we're as close to God as possible, because God is a man, and I always assumed most women went to hell anyway.
Oh, okay.
Right, you know, like,
I mean I thought this was kind of silly, but now you're kind of bringing me around on this.
I mean, that Y chromosome is what gets you into heaven.
Oh, that's good.
It's like a ticket. Like a
golden ticket.
Yeah, exactly.
So heaven is Willy Wonka's chocolate factory.
Right. So, you know, like, men make mistakes sometimes. They say God and stuff like that. But like, they're, when men say it, most of the time they're honoring him.
Oh, like, you know, a prayer.
Right. It's like, you know, we say the Our Father before like a meal or something.
So a girl's giving you a BJ and right, you're like, oh God, that's a prayer.
Right. I'm actually, when I say that, I'm actually disconnecting myself from the BJ,
mm-hmm,
because at that moment, you know, God is more important.
Have you ever shot your Holy Ghost in her mouth?
I don't even know. It's an out-of-body experience. I'm like, to me, that's like more for... I don't even get any enjoyment out of that, really.
No?
Like, actually, like, I'm just...
So that's how you pray. You, instead of going to church, you ask a woman, I got to get closer to the Lord. Can you kiss my...
No. Because most of the time I find that women want to do that. Like, they want to do that. So it's more of me. Like, I'm killing a lot of birds with a couple. So, I don't know what the phrase is.
Killing two birds with one stone.
Right, right. So I am not only giving back to the women, you know, those women that going to hell. I am also saying the Lord's Prayer at the same time. So I am like helping a pauper and giving grace to God himself.
That's interesting. Now, I notice how sometimes like women say no. How do you deal with that situation?
What do you mean?
Well, you know, you go up to her, hey, I want to pray to God. I need a PJ. And she's like, well, no, thank you.
You know, like, that's never happened because usually in my case, like, my case, it's more like they just come up to me and they say, can I please do this for you? Because, you know, what I'm seeing is very close to the Savior.
Okay, okay, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, I see what you're saying. Like, I guess women are really into, like, very faithful kind of men, and you're right. Such a Lord's man that
a lot of times, lot of times what I realize, like, women, like, when I get them in the mood, I usually play, like, a song like this in the bedroom first.
Okay.
You know, like, some guys, like, I've heard that, like, some guys like to do, like, dinner and, like, a date and, like, to go out for drinks, a movie maybe. But what I like to do is after several hours of prayer, like, sometimes I'll shorten it at like 2.5. It's not a big deal.
That's a short
one for you. So after reading the book of Elijah for, a solid hour, and then I always
that was a good movie.
I always wrap it up with Exodus. I like to put this song on while I, I do this dance in front of the woman usually to show her God is going through me. Now, it would be a shame to keep my clothes on during it.
Okay.
Because if you go back to the book of Exodus, they didn't have clothes back then.
Can you give me the verse so I can look it up?
Verse 14-2, obviously.
All right.
But in the meantime, time is in his hands, beginning and the end. Beginning and the end.
Godhead,
three in one, Father, Spirit, and the Son.
We have a little earthquake going on
here. Oh, it's all right.
All right.
The Lion and the Lamb.
Tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi Harebeth between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea, directly opposite Baal Zephon. So,
right. You heard that Baal's part, right?
Yeah.
Basically, you probably don't get it because you're not a real holy man like myself.
Yeah, I'm not huge.
But basically, it means like present the needy woman with the balls of the Lord, and she will give her grace to it.
Now, God's been around for a long time. Does he have saggy balls?
You know, like, I like to think of I like to think of this planet as like
one of God's testicles.
One of God's testicles, and us
so the moon is his us other one.
Us
the smaller
men
one.
As his life force, his sperms roaming around in his in his sack.
So if we're the sperm, where are the women?
The devil.
Why would God make a planet full of devils?
Beats me. God is mysterious.
Hmm.
But yeah, so John McGee, your message is heard loud and clear here on Verbal Shenanigans, and I blacked out for a second. Where are we?
Hey, welcome to Verbal Shenanigans.
Hey, Scott Brennan again on a Verbal Shenanigans. However, you know what books? I do like books. I like the Bible.
A lot of religious books.
Yeah, I like non-religious books sometimes, but mostly religious books. But
I mean, do you have a lot of time to sit down and read those things?
Well, no. Usually, I'm spreading the word of God through my penis. But I do
what
like.
Can we do?
I do love. There is something that God sent me the other day—a link.
Ooh.
And it's
was it on the screen door like my aunt?
No, it's a Audible trial. .com/verbalshenanigans will get you a free audiobook. You can try it out before you, if you want to buy books and stuff like that. And not only the podcast makes a little cashish that will be donated right back to the church.
Oh, very nice. Yeah. Very
and
nice.
That's the way we go. This is a very religious podcast, yeah, as you guys know.
It's so beautiful being on the left nut.
Yeah. So hopefully, Burley, you come over to our side. You see the light.
I'm seeing the light.
I'm hoping my speech there that got you on our side.
I truly believe that the Lord's way is the only way. It's a one-way street that I must go.
Did you grow up religious?
I think the first time I ever went to church was probably around the age of 14 or so.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I got baptized around 14 or so. They didn't baptize me as a kid.
In a river?
No, my parents actually told me that they didn't baptize me as a kid because I was very squirmy and they were worried. That was the response, and I just looked at him like, okay, I didn't know that was a thing.
So what you're telling me is they said, look, he's 3 months old, he's a little squirmy, maybe we should push this off 13 and a half years.
Yeah, pretty much. That was the story. I never got a really good answer as to why that was, but...
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, I guess it might be the better thing because I got to make my choice whether I wanted to do it or not, so... they don't have the River of Jordan in New Jersey. I'm sorry.
So what religion was it?
Presbyterian.
Presbyterian. So did your family were they religious or were?
We used to go to church for a couple years and it just stopped. There was no real good reason towards it. It was just my dad would get busy with work and he had a company that was four on, four off. It sounded like 5 days a week and 2 days off. So a lot of Sundays he'd work. A lot of times they would offer overtime on Sunday, so he wasn't available. I went there for a good couple years and just stopped.
Yeah. Yeah, I grew up in basically a Roman Catholic, going to Sunday CCD on Saturday mornings and whatnot. And, I would say by eighth grade, I was done with it. I did my confirmation or whatever, and it was pretty much done after that. Like, I started not caring whatsoever. And,
yeah.
My mom still goes and forces my dad to go, but, I mean, I guess he is. I don't know. I think he just goes to keep her quiet and be like, but I don't know. Like, I think, like, there was some decent parts to, like, religion. I get, you know, like... I think, like, some of the virtues that they're trying to teach you at an early age and whatnot are good. But it's when it becomes you're required to do this, you're required to do that, pay us for this. It becomes really weird. And I mean, it's really weird to begin with. Like, a flock of people go every Sunday and listen to a bunch of songs and chant together in a room. It's a little weird to begin with. But I can't do the organized religion thing.
No, it's just too much of an effort. I mean, I consider myself more spiritual than religious. I just figure be a good person, let the cards lay where they are, and when I die, let's see where I end up.
Yeah. Yeah. But now, as I told you, like, I'm very religious, as you can hear.
River
of Jordan.
I'm starting to rethink the spirituality thing. Now, where do we go for church now with this thought process?
It's interesting.
Tallywaggers?
Buffalo Wild Wings. wings, beer, sports, religion. That's the motto there.
Oh, that's very interesting.
It is.
God's really into the man thing, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's more of like a corporate version of God, but it's a form of God.
So does he look down, like, let's say I say some Sunday, instead of watching like a UFC fight, I want to go apple picking.
Mm-hmm.
How would God react to that?
He'd be more like $3 tall boys special football game.
Oh, he'd be more...
Find God.
So he won't get mad. He'd just be like, dude, what the hell?
Like, a lot of times when I have too many beers and, like, you know, I'll call my mom and be like, hey, Mom, we're going to talk about something. She's like, what are you, been drinking a lot? No, I said, no, I was finding God.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, do you get holier with like whiskey and
Oh man, whiskey really like
that's like Pope like level drinks, right?
Whiskey is like almost like God's blood, as they say. They always said wine, but yeah, that was a lie. That was they found that in Exodus. Oh. Exodus 14:5.
All right, hold on.
That whiskey is truly God's blood, and Irish people are blessed. I have no clue where this podcast has gone today.
Right. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, "What have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services."
Exactly what I just said, to a T.
So they fled for the whiskey.
Naturally.
Oh. Why only the Israelites, though?
Because there was no Manischewitz at the time.
What? No kidding.
None. Wow. Proven fact. It wasn't invented until...
So why didn't the Pharaoh join them in the whiskey?
He wasn't close to God. He was a fraud.
Oh, no.
He was a fraud.
My poor man.
Yeah.
Where'd he end up?
I'm not really sure. I don't even know what to say anymore.
Give me credit. Your improv skills are pretty decent.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Michael Burley, do you... I think we could put the God stuff behind us, because God will veer his head again.
He's everywhere. He's not listening to us, but he's everywhere.
Religious Scott could make another appearance one day. Ooh. On a podcast. He might come back on. But are you... Do you like being scared? Like, do you like horror movies?
I like horror movies.
Yeah?
Like, when I was younger, they scared the crap out of me and stuff. But as I got older and kind of saw, okay, this is cheesier when I looked at it, I kind of got into it.
Right.
I think I brought up before, I'm a big Robert Englund fan, Freddy Krueger.
Right.
I'd probably go Freddy as the number one scary guy.
Mm-hmm.
Two, I would say Hellraiser. Three, I would say Jason.
So like slasher guys, you mean?
Yeah, I grew up in the... If it's the 80s, it's the slashers. A lot of people who grew up in like the 90s get into the whole like Ring and all right. those movies. I never got how those things are scary or interesting.
Now, how do you feel about haunted houses?
I've gone to a few. I go in there. I keep my head on a swivel so they can't attack me.
Right.
Like, seriously, I just go through the whole thing swinging my head. And I catch them half the time. And they just look at me
the
like,
people that went with probably think you're part of the haunted house. You're swiveling your head like a retard. He's possessed. The reason I brought this up, this week I was just like, you know, on one of my little YouTube searches. And, yeah, and it seems to be getting more and more popular. Like, I know there's one in New York and stuff like that. These crazy haunted houses where, like, you go in for... I think the one in New York is called Blackout.
I think I know that one. Is that the one in the jail?
Maybe. I don't... You go in and basically there's, like, a safe word. Like, you could say, like, I want to... You know, I'm done or whatever. But they, like, torture you and, like... they waterboard you and, like, all these crazy things. I came across one called the McAmy Manor. I think it's in San Diego.
Okay.
And I think these people are fucking nuts, to be honest.
I don't think I've heard of this one, so I'm going to see the video.
And these are like these haunted houses where this one literally... Well, let me play the little intro here. Here's a little intro from some news place. And then I also have another video here of... that like some guy actually going through it.
California McAmy Manor is not your typical haunted house. Instead of seeing ghosts, employees are there to scare the crap out of you. You could be bound, gagged, drenched in blood, and terrorized for 4 to 7 hours. If you're gagged, how do you yell out your safe word? It's the world's most extreme haunted house. Sounds more sick than scary, right? They put guests through sheer terror. Force feeding them, riding them, shouting in their faces, shutting them in small boxes, and more. That's kind of disturbing. Sounds like they took a page out of the movie Hostel. This experience is supposed to scare you to death. So does it cost extra if you have a heart attack? If they do terrify you to that extent, then hey, At least you can't say it was false advertising. I don't know. It feels like something really bad could happen. Like, say someone does have a heart attack and dies, everyone will just think it's part of the show. Having said that, all guests are required to sign a waiver, and they have a health check to make sure that they can endure the stress of such an experience. One couple decided to go there straight after their wedding, because what better way to celebrate the union of marriage than by having your heads put in cages full of snakes and being forced to eat rotten eggs. Not my idea.
I look forward to the first gay marriage that goes there.
This sounds like a good time to me, but it does for a lot of other people. There's 24,000 people on the waiting list. Yes, they have a waiting list. I'd like to see who's on this waiting list. Anyone we know. Do you think you could handle a haunted house like this? I bet when people get out of there.
All right, so first off, what's scarier than the haunted house is this woman's freaking reading skills or acting skills. But,
that's not a haunted house, in my opinion. That's S&M.
Me too. That's kind of where I was getting with this. You need to have some kind of sick...
It's a fetish. Exactly. There is no way around it. I mean, to get scared, it's kind of exhilarating, you know, just the... Ah, and, you know, getting your
like
heartbeat
something popping
back.
Out,
and
like, huh!
And then when you're all done, you're all just high-fiving, laughing your asses off. Oh, you were crapping your pants. Oh, you were crying, man. And then you go get a beer.
Right.
But that's porn.
Now,
that's Andy, a weird okay? way of
looking at these clips. Look at these clips here.
All right, man.
There's a guy. Yes, what's happening right now? Sir. He's getting saran wrapped. His eyes are blindfolded.
The suspense before these guys kidnap you is...
They're kidnapping him. And I'm just going to scroll through the video so we get an idea. They're punching him in the face, yelling at him right in his face. It gets so much worse. They're putting shit in his mouth. You know, like strapping him down into to a table.
Well, you're about to have lots of fun.
Sandy, I want your attention.
See that?
Putting a blowtorch by his nuts.
It's
putting his head in a cage.
You know,
Andy, right now he's blindfolded. He's throwing up all over the place.
You know who has great haunted houses? Al-Qaeda.
That's basically what it is. They're making him work out now, blindfolded, smashing shit in his face. They were pulling on his teeth before. Now he's in a freezer and he's got makeup on. Look at this. Them just screaming in his face, like manhandling him.
If you're into it, that's fine, but it's S&M. Point blank. I'm not even debating that.
4 to 7 hours? What happened to the 15-minute like walkthrough? Like, ooh, yeah. I'm scared. I actually, there was this kid who grew up. Yeah, I went to Scouts with him. He was always into like horror movies and stuff like that. And he started off doing it at his parents' house every Halloween. He would do a haunted house like through the backyard, and it was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people would come from all over the neighborhood and walk through it. And then one year he got to do it at the YMCA, and I got to play Jason. I got to put on like the and it wasn't just like a hockey mask and a fake machete. Here, I got to put on like this full jumpsuit with like all this body armor in it, and like parts hanging out, and like I looked humongous. Like I looked like I was like I'm tall, like I'm 6'3", 6'4", but I looked like I was probably like 275 pounds. I was gigantic, and I got like an actual machete that was dulled down, and it was awesome experience,
oh,
man.
Yeah.
I was like, and it was cool because when with the station where I was at, they would come from this room, and it was just a really tiny hallway, and I'm like the width of the hallway, so they would have to walk past, and I'm like tapping the walls with the machete, and like, you know, people are shitting their pants, and it's a pretty cool feeling. It must be fun, but this shit is just ridiculous, man.
Oh yeah,
when there's a safe word and like a
why does if you forget your safe word, like sir,
yeah,
you're
like
four
you're that
hours
scared.
In,
yep.
And you're like, oh, I can't take it, and then you're like, oh, buttercup, cheese, South Dakota.
And it's just like they're putting things in their mouth and gagging them and dunking them on the water. Who would want to pay or whatever it is to have someone do that to them? It's like a nightmare.
We got Doug Max on the line.
Doug?
I enjoy a long experience with a woman like that. 4 to 7 hours with a wonderful lady who's gagging me is quite a turn on.
And then I kill her. But I don't know, man. I don't think I could ever do it. I think I would freaking punch someone right in the face.
Yeah.
Like someone comes at me and starts grabbing my mouth and my face. I don't like to be grabbed, my face touched to begin with. I think I mentioned that. But someone comes at me, I'm going to start swinging. I'm going to start get the hell off of me. Like these guys, and I guess the whole thing is to be submissive. You know, you got to let this happen.
It's just a sex thing. I don't care what anybody says. There's nothing horrible. I mean, there's horrifying experiences, but everything you're describing is just a guy pretty much should just meet some woman with some leather and just slap him with a whip.
Yeah. I don't really have any fetishes. Not really. I don't think.
I'm plain Jane.
I'm pretty plain too. Like now that like 1,700 people know my hockey jersey story.
Mm-hmm.
But other than something like simple like that, like I have nothing. Like I'm not into feet. I'm not into being dominated. I'm not into I don't know what the hell. I'm not a furry.
No.
The time.
Do you own a glass table?
I like God. Oh, that's about it. But I don't. There's nothing that like. I don't know. Like just to be with a woman is enough for me. Like like I don't want to be dressing up or acting. Like
no.
I don't know, man.
I mean, some of this stuff is crazy, but like choking and like. Some of them are into, like, false raping and stuff.
I know.
Like
it's so weird and disturbing to me.
I'm just glad when I have a woman, it's like, oh, my God, that's a victory enough.
Right. Right. Yeah. As long as they don't say God during intercourse.
Well, then.
If that happens, what I do is I usually...
Can you imagine how disgusting it would be if you're in the middle of that haunted house for 7 hours and some woman yelled God?
I mean, that's just over the line. Like, you know, you want to waterboard me? Fine. You want to put rotten eggs in my mouth and make me puke? Fine. But you say God, and that house, it should be shut down.
Exactly. Then it wouldn't be a house of God.
But, like, even, like, seeing this footage, like, if you, that's the town. That, like, if I live in that town and that kind of stuff, and that's, like, down the street, I don't want that kind of, like, element. I mean,
you know, eventually somebody's going to die and the cops are going to be there. And it's
even when I did that haunted house, some woman had like a panic attack and they had to stop it for like a half hour and the EMTs had to come in. He was good at it, man. He had like all the, like every year was a different theme. Like one year would be aliens, one year would be, and he would do all, like anyone who would like come work with, like he'd do all professional makeup on them and there'd be people that would interact with the people waiting online and then people in the back. And, he was really good. Like, one year he, and he always hosted it instead of being, like, in the haunted house. So one year he did Darth Maul completely with the contacts and everything and the full costume. I wonder whatever happened to that guy.
Darth Maul, he died in the first
episode. Oh, yes, episode one. See, that's why I forgot, because I tried to forget that movie completely.
Yeah. like everybody said, you had one cool character and you had to kill him.
Yeah. But not into the haunted house thing.
I don't mind it, but it's not.
No,
like...
no. Like a haunted house where I can walk through and I know I'm out in 20 minutes or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I'm not. No one's touching me. Like no one. You know, you want to like graze by me or make loud noises something like that.
You wouldn't like the actual haunted house that are hardcore, because what they basically do is like they'll go to like an abandoned jail.
In Philly, right?
Yeah.
I heard that's great.
Zero lights whatsoever. And no little baby walking behind you with, like, those night goggles and just be like, boom.
That's kind of cool. I could do that. But when you're squirting blood on me, like, at one point I was watching this video before. They're like, open your eyes. And they open his eyes and just squirt his eyes with, like, fake blood right in his eye. Like, ugh. I don't know. But, yeah.
What else can we talk about?
Oh, I got a couple things.
Hear Dustin Diamond's in jail for 4 months.
Yeah. You know, I heard the bars on his cell. You know what they sound like?
Bells.
Screech.
Scott, your improv skills went down a little bit.
No, that was kind of on purpose. That was on purpose. I had some interesting observations this week. Just like last week with the woman who peed Cool Ranch Doritos that her pee smelled like Cool Ranch Doritos, and the guy with the shirt. Today I was in Dunkin' Donuts, or online, in the drive-thru for Dunkin' Donuts, as I always am. And the car in front of me, the back window is open, ordering the order.
Okay.
And I look, but it's not like an adult. It was like a fucking 7-year-old kid putting in the whole order. Like, can I get a large coffee with sugar and blah, blah, blah? And one froze. It was so weird. And the dad was in the front, like, with the windows closed, and the kid's doing all the orders. Now, I'm thinking, that's really weird, or that's, like, dad of the year. Like, go order your family some coffee. Like, I don't know. That was weird.
It would probably irritate me, because I know most 7-year-olds had tried to get cute. And can I get a dinosaur with that coffee?
7-year-old. Oh, God. 7-year-olds or you, Berlo?
I prefer me over 7-year-olds.
Yeah. So I thought that was kind of weird. I never really saw that before. Like a kid putting in like a full family's coffee order. It was kind of strange. What else? There was something.
It'd be funny if they got home and like the grandmother yelled at the 7-year-old, "I told you sugar! What's the sweet and low in here? Dumb kid!"
There was something else. Oh, I remember what I wanted to talk about.
Talk to me.
Did you do a lot of pranks growing up? Like pranks to people or anything like that?
I'm trying to think. I don't really believe so. I know we, about the only one I can think of is like me and one kid, and it's not one of my old stories. Two of us got into a lot of fights a lot.
What he's saying? He's saying Weird Al too loud to you?
No. It was like in the fourth grade. He was kind of a degenerate. He like never was in school half the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, he literally didn't make the next grade just because he missed too many days, and it was just him not showing up. Mm-hmm. But me and him would get in a lot of fights. So on April Fool's Day, we decided to prank fight so the teacher would freak out and whatever.
Badass.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was a bit of a prankster growing up. Especially in high school, I had this group of friends where we just tried to consistently prank each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another group in high school. They were pretty good at it too. I remember things like the bags of leaves.
Mm-hmm.
I had a friend. They got the keys to his car, opened his car, and filled his car to the brim with leaves.
Nice.
Which is pretty bad. But my favorite prank back then, and it's still a great prank, you just take a piece of paper, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we used to always write, "I love Indian cock" on it, right?
Mm-hmm. You told me the story.
And you take the piece of paper and you slide it into someone's gas tank. Now, you may say, why? You may say, why would you do that? The whole thing is they drive up to go get gas.
Mm-hmm.
Guy goes, 99% of the time, they're of Indian descent, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as they go to open the gas tank, a little note falls out. He picks up the note and it says, "I love Indian cock." So the joy is just that awkward moment of either the guy
handing
the note and just like, just fill it, sir, or let me get out of here. So that was always one of my favorites.
It's not really a prank, but I once got a clown to come into my job to dance for my boss once.
Oh, do tell.
Yeah. I forget what it was. It was just, we were talking about stuff, and what can we do? And somebody brought up, let's get a clown for him. So we all got like $20, and we got this clown. We convinced him, oh, we're going for your birthday, we're going to have hoagies in the lunch break room.
Ooh.
And, yeah, well, good hoagies, not like convenience store hoagies. But, you know, we're chomping along, and then there's a knock on the door. And the funny thing was, like, my boss was, like, in between, like, three people. He was way away from the door, but I still was like, hey, man, why didn't you get the door for us?
Smooth.
He got up, he had to go, excuse me. Mm-hmm. He goes to the front door, and this clown comes in, And not with the payment, but kind of an additional thing. The clown was drunk as hell.
Naturally.
So he comes in. He's got like noise band. Who's the birthday boy? We were just dying laughing. Meanwhile, there's a help desk like right next to us. They had to shut the door because they're getting pissed off because of this clown. And the clown just walking around. He made a pass on one of the women there.
Nice.
He hugged one of the Indian guys and said, "Daddy."
Yeah. I mean, judging by how you talk about your boss now, I'm guessing you would wish that clown was from It at this point.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Me and my friends, I don't even know how this started, but we went and we drove around. You would just drive around because there was nothing else to do in the suburbs. And one day we actually got a couple stories now that I'm thinking about it. One day we, off of someone's lawn, we took a very, very heavy ceramic goose, like, or it was like, it must have been half concrete. And basically, it started off like, oh, let's take this goose and put it on blah, blah, blah's car. So the thing just took on a life of its own. And you basically, if you got goosed, you had to figure out a way to goose the other person in a creative way.
Okay.
So one day we hung the goose from my other buddy's tree in his front yard with a noose and like a ransom note on his neck. One day my parents pulled up to the house. And they were like in the driveway, and like, oh my God, it's a goose. Because it looked real. They're like, it's like standing in the. And they took like cottage cheese and like made it look like the bird, like shit all the way up the walkway. And I don't even know what happened to that goose, but it was so much fun. It was like, oh, we're going to goose Mike tonight. We're going to goose Keith tonight. We're going to get him good. And I don't know where the goose ended up. We convinced one of my friend's parents to let us go in and tuck it in his bed. So when we went to bed, the goose was lying next to him. Mm-hmm. So I used to love that kind of stuff. We did all sorts of things. We saran wrapped each other's car. We covered one guy's car in like male porno. it was just such jerk offs. But
the worst thing. We didn't get the porn back.
He didn't give it back.
That asshole.
He didn't give it back. But I miss those days. Just like driving around, like, let's find something to do. Like, there's, you know, let's just find, we're just being creative.
Another work prank I did. So this was early on where we had to get like people to get announcements. So I had this like argument with somebody in work, and we actually had me and my boss and his boss on. You know, who can do announcements for these clients. So we're going back and forth, and my CIO is like, well, Baker, you can probably cut out that last name if you could when we do this.
Sure.
Seriously.
Quaker.
So he goes to my boss, and he's like, well, you can record it. Mm-hmm. And he's like, and, you know, worst case, I can record it. And he turns to me, and he says, Berlew, you can't record it. You have no speaking voice whatsoever.
Okay.
So that kind of like ticked me off, but it got my comical side going. So I waited very long until the next announcement request came in. And basically from my CIO saying anybody in the department can record except Mike Berlew. What I did was I found the gentleman who was the Indian guy. And he was the Indian guy where our people who actually work out of India will go, what did you say?
Okay. All right.
So I set it up where I put it on an announcement that didn't go to anybody's phone script, if you will.
Okay.
And we faked it. We sent a fake email to our boss. We went in there and we just like total acting and all. And I'm in there and I'm like, I don't know what to do. There was nobody else here. I couldn't record it. You know the rules. You don't. He's like, what's going on? What's going on? He's like, we got a severe problem and all. They're really mad at the announcement. He's like, what are you talking about? Well, let me play it for you. Beep, boop, boop, boop. Thank you for calling the body help desk. We're calling for purposes. You're going to be able to record it.
Two things are going through my mind.
Yeah.
A funny prank, but also another accent for the Berlew accent reel.
Well, I had to do it.
Yeah.
And my CIO is listening to this, and he just puts his hands on his head. And he's slowly pulling it to the ground. And he keeps on looking at me, looking for some kind of logic back. And He's like, you thought this was good. There was somebody here. There was a rush. I had to get somebody. He was the only one here.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, get out there and re-record it. Before we walked out, we're like, it's a prank.
Yes. Nice. Well done.
Thank you.
Well done.
Seriously, cut out the last name.
Yeah. We used to do things in college. Like, we would tie, like, the dorm rooms across from each other. We would tie the doors together. So, like, they couldn't get out. So, they would just be pulling. One of my favorites was that you would take those little, you know, like, little rinse cups. Like, tiny cups in the bathroom. Like, mm-hmm. the plastic ones. And you fill them with, like, shaving cream. And you fold them and you stick them underneath the door. Like, of the crevice, and then you knock on the door and wait till someone comes in, and you stomp on all of them and shoot shaving cream all over. The worst I ever saw was we went down the Wildwood. It was, like, one of the cotillion or prom things. Some kid had passed out, and they oh, my God, these kids were murdering the guy, like, shaving his legs and drawing things on him and putting soap in his eye. It was like, it looked like, it was like a scene from that haunted house. I was like, come on, guys, like, enough. Like, that's not, like, there's a point where it's not funny. It's got to be clever to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, shaving his legs, that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
But, like, throwing soap in the kid's eyes because he's drunk. I mean, we were like 19 or 20 or 18 or something like that. But I didn't do it. I did not do it because I'm a man of God.
Mm-hmm. This wasn't really a prank, but it kind of leads to, I remember we had a Christmas Eve party over my brother's, and I think it was like one of my cousins, when everybody was getting hammered. This was before I was old enough to drink, so I had to be sober through this. And he drank so much, he like passed out outside. He was like sitting on the patio seat outside, and my dad's like, well, we got to get him in. And everybody's like, oh, we'll just let him sleep it off. He's like, it's 14 degrees outside. He's going to die out there. So this guy was like over 300. So four or five of us are trying to pick him up, and his pants fall off as we're pulling him into the place. We're trying to carry him. We're breaking our backs at the same time trying to pull his pants up, and I kept on saying, yo, let's just put some like Vaseline on his cheeks and let him wake up and try to figure out.
Yeah, that's why you were putting Vaseline on his cheeks.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're coming to the end here. I know this was a pretty low key, chill episode, just talking. Berlo, anything to quickly promote? We're running against the clock here.
I will promote the Princess Royale Ocean City,
good one.
Maryland. The Waves of Laughter Comedy Club, Johnny Watson headlining, Mike Green. I'm sure I'll be there sometime in July or August.
Yep. Excellent. Yeah, I'm trying to plan a weekend to get down there. And I will shamelessly promote myself. I think it's July 25th. I'll be at Bust a Gut Comedy Club in Ocean.
Table 42 also.
Yeah, Table 42, August 30th, third annual, third Verbal Shenanigans comedy show. Mike Gaffney, McDonald and Carney, and Ritu Chandra, and myself. Tickets are $35 for dinner and all that stuff. Please keep following us on Twitter at VS Comedy. And please, we need a couple more votes on Podcast Land. Podcast of the Month.
Yeah, this will probably come out after the month, though.
Well, we'll see. Vote for us for the next month. But anyway, people, keep the wind at your back. Life is funny. Laugh at it. And let's cue the haunted house music.
Thank you for coming. I should? Yeah. The beautiful people. The beautiful people. Well,